Hi, folks. It's Connectivity, episode 19, y'all. Or is it 18? No, it's 19.
It's yep. 19.
And with me today, Scott Thompson.
Hello.
And Patrick Barnett.
Hello, hello.
And I'm Cora Sack Miller. We have some, it's going to be a light segment. We got like two pieces of news, really just one. And then we got a piece of listener mail, and then we're going to have some fun talking about that demo that came out on the eShop last Thursday that you can only play 30 times.
Just so ridiculous.
I've only got 27 left.
Yeah, I have 28. It's like I don't want to waste them or something, even though the game's coming out in far less days.
I was just saying, you got to ration it up for like the next 2.5 weeks before it comes out.
That's right. Don't play it twice in one day. that's what we got. Well, let's start out with the news. Patrick, we have like one good news story. Shout it out, man.
All right. So there was the box art for that Final Fantasy rhythm game had a little logo on the top right corner, and it just said Nintendo Network on it. So I'm not really sure what that means, but it's probably going to be a new service from Nintendo.
Yeah. I was just saying, what do 3DS games now say when they have like online capability? Like I have a DS box right up here. I just got Professor Layton. Is it still just say Nintendo Wi-Fi connection?
Yeah.
Is that what they've been saying?
And it's the same with Mario Kart 2.
Okay.
I'm looking at Mario Kart 7, and there's no, in the upper right corner, there's no like Wi-Fi symbol.
Oh, really?
There's not?
No, I'm looking at my box right now.
Anything on the back?
It does say it on the back.
Yeah, okay. I think it must say it on the back. But I wonder if what's the Nintendo Network going to be? Is it going to be their answer to Xbox Live and PSN? Is it going to be like an actual system?
I don't know.
It's probably going to be something connecting the 3DS and the Wii U whenever that.
I'll bet you're right.
Yeah, that could be. Or it could just mean that now you can pay extra money like to download DLC, you know? It really could be any of it, I guess. I mean, pie in the sky, yeah, it would be awesome if it was some like improved online infrastructure like Xbox Live or PSN, but I think they're pretty happy, at least on the 3DS, with where they're at. So I don't see it being something like that. But maybe connecting to the Wii U. When does this game come out in Japan? Do we know?
I'm not sure.
And actually, that would be a little weird to me because the Wii U is probably not coming out till November.
Right. Let's see. It releases in February 16th in Japan.
Yeah, it's got to be something else.
Yeah, so it's still a little early for that. So, I kind of think it's going to be DLC.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. And that would be interesting because then you could... I mean, it'd be nice if that's what that meant, because then you'd know what games are going to have, you know, DLC available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
We'll see where it goes.
Has anyone like paid much attention to this game? It sounds kind of cool. Not that I know too much about it, but it sounds interesting.
I feel like I remember Neil saying he was interested in it. He probably knows more.
I mean, it looks kind of cool. A little rhythm Final Fantasy game, and I think you go through like all the different series, and so you like, play as almost any character, any of the memorable characters, and
just the battles such a all weird like rhythm thing. Based.
Yeah, like out of nowhere too.
Yeah,
I hope it comes to America, but I don't know if it will.
Maybe Tifa will be in it. That'll make me get it.
That's all it takes, huh? A little Tifa. Mm-hmm. I never understood like when people were like Tifa or what was that? Ares? Was that the other?
Ares. Who cares?
And it's like, what debate is that? Tifa all the time, every time.
Yeah, and people, you know, that, I'm going to say it, that death scene, that Aerith death scene, who cares? You know, people say they cried about that. Well, they must cry at the drop of a hat, because that, you know, yes, it was surprising, but really, when you look at those graphics, and you look at the voice... acting.
Well, there was no voice acting.
Yeah, that's true. There was no voice acting in Soul Calibur 7. So
Final Fantasy VII. You're getting everything mixed up.
Sorry.
You're jumping all over the place.
That's a good segue into the next news piece.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead with that, because I'm not going anywhere else with this.
There's rumored that Soul Calibur V could be heading to the 3DS, but Zach, I guess you don't believe that.
Soul Calibur V is built on the Soul Calibur 4 engine. Might be a little bit modified, but there's no way in hell the 3DS is running the Soul Calibur 4/5 engine. If we get a Soul Calibur game, it will be like Soul Calibur Broken Destiny on the PSP. It's a very impressive game, and it's basically Soul Calibur 4, but it's really pared down.
Well, how was Street Fighter 4 for 3DS? Did either of you play it?
Yeah, I have that. That's actually the only game I got with 3DS launch. But
and how was that?
It was fine. I mean, it ran smoothly and it looked pretty great. I'm not sure how closely it is to Soul Calibur. I've never really followed Soul Calibur.
It's not like, I don't think it's the full experience. I don't think it's the full Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 console experience, is it?
I'm not sure. It did a lot of different stuff. I played the console a little bit and it felt basically exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
So,
I mean, it's pretty good.
There wasn't like a full-on, I guess there was more of a story mode. I haven't played it in so long, it's hard to remember.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're, okay. Well, it would be nice. Just to have a Soul Calibur game on the system would be nice, because I really like Soul Calibur. It's really the only 3D fighting game I can play well. And when I say well, I mean okay. Like, if I go online, I'll get my ass kicked, but I can get through the story mode.
Now, here's what's important. If it does come to 3DS, do we get a Nintendo-exclusive character? Does Link return?
Oh, man. Oh, man, that was awesome.
Zach, I think I just heard your boner over the headset. Yeah, no, that would be really cool. I've never, ever really been interested in Soul Calibur, but just like everyone else, I sure as hell played Soul Calibur 2 because Link was in it.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awesome.
Dude, Soul Calibur 2 was the best one. Not just because of Link, but just for many reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never, but not that I'm very much into fighting games in general, because I'm not, but it just never really grabbed me, and I thought Yoda and Darth Vader were kind of stupid.
They were. They didn't fit into the universe at all.
No.
Or that whiny Starkiller guy. God, I hate him. Okay, anything else? Code of Princess
basically
in online mode?
That's basically it, unless you want me to mention your game, I guess, Zach.
Yeah, Zach, you mentioned this like in passing last week, but so Code of Princess, what is it, and why are you excited that it's coming here?
Well, it might not be coming here. We still don't know if it's coming
here.
Oh,
okay, okay.
But it's like a 2D brawler. It reminds me a little bit of that Scott Pilgrim game.
Okay. I was just going to ask, so something like that, or like River City Ransom,
yeah,
or any of the classic Ninja Turtle games. It's got moves in it, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I like brawlers. That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
And it has online modes. That'd be cool. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good, actually. Zach, start a petition. Get that over here.
That worked pretty well the first time with Project Rainfall.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those guys aren't up to anything now, so...
Yeah.
Start a grassroots movement through Swapnote and get it going.
10,000 replies.
Imagine downloading those.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, 20 at a time. So we had a little like debate about Swapnote on the comment section of our last episode. We're recording now on Monday, so maybe more will pop up as things go along. But it looks like one guy said, I should find his name so I can at least credit him, but that... It looks like the letters, like the notes, do download in the background, but then it's just that when you like open the system later to look at them, then that downloading like loading bar is actually
right.
Just sort of like a loading bar, like it's just extracting them.
Doing that to me right now.
Because he said he was offline and he was able to like download notes, so they must have downloaded earlier, and then it's just like decompressing them or something, or extracting them, which is so dumb. I mean, you have to sit there through that long, and if you have 20 of them, like, it does take, like, a good, like, minute, maybe minute and a half, and it's just I mean, if it's literally downloading them ahead of time, then it should just have them ready to go for you.
Yeah.
So kind of dumb there. But I still like Swapnote.
Yeah,
I just checked it after like 8 days of not checking it this weekend, and I spent like probably about an hour downloading all the notes and then going through them. But now I'm all caught up.
Two thirds of them.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I don't delete anything for whatever reason. I just leave everything. But yeah, it took a while to go through them.
Yeah, I delete a lot of stuff and that takes a long ass time.
Yeah, I think you have a few more 3DS friends than I do. Maybe yeah, I'll have I to start I doing do, that. Yeah.
All right.
But
that's basically it for news, I guess.
Cool. I like it when it's short and sweet like that. Let's do some listener mail.
Woo!
You want to read this one off, Scott?
Yeah, I can read the listener mail. First of all, we got one from Andy Gergen, who you'll actually be
friend
hearing on.
Friend of the show, Andy.
Yeah, friend of the show, old acquaintance, old lover. But you'll hear him on this episode twice, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
In the bonus segment and in the 3DS durability segment, so look forward to that. But here is his mail. He writes a few points. Number one, Xbox Live demos of retail games may come and go, but XBLA downloadable titles have and always will have demos for every single title. The demo and the full versions are literally the same download. You just need to purchase a key to unlock the game once you have it.
Yeah.
Number two... Yep. Sorry, let me just... Number two, you've been able to get demos of retail DS games for years. Not from a kiosk in Best Buy, but via the Nintendo channel on your Wii.
I forgot all about that.
Yes.
I actually used that a couple times for a few games I remember over the years, I guess.
I did when it was, like, was first available, and then, yeah, I just completely erased it from my brain.
Yeah.
I wonder, for some reason.
Did they update it with a lot of recent games recently? Or I haven't checked it in a while.
I bet not. Either. I would literally bet not, but maybe worth checking out.
It became the Wii Virtual Console.
Basically, yeah, it probably dried up a long time ago. But yeah, that's a good point. So I guess they have been trying to do the demo thing for a little while. It's just easier now because you can get it straight from the system rather than hooking it up to your other system to get
right.
it. So much more convenient. And he's right. Yeah, see, that's what I thought. When I said that last week, and then Mike said that they go away, I was pretty sure they didn't, but... He's right, the demos of retail games will go away, but XBLA games will always have demos, which is true. And yeah, then you just like, after you play the demo, it's like, do you want to play the whole game? And you just hit yes and pay your points, and then it just unlocks. So,
yep.
Which is cool, and hopefully Nintendo keeps doing that. And we'll have demos for all the eShop games, which would be awesome, because there's so many good ones now. But, you know, it's just hard to... plop down the money. It's not like an easy purchase like an iPhone game is. It's a little bit more of an investment.
Right.
Like, I haven't gotten Mighty Switch Force or VVVVVV. And now there's Mutant Muds, too, and it's like, I would kind of like to try these games. Zen Pinball. Oh, yeah, you guys are crazy about that.
We were talking about Zen Pinball before the show, and I need to buy that, too.
Yeah, that's great.
you guys are like... Patrick, are you the one who has like one of the highest scores? Like,
I was
in the country?
Ranked number one in the country on the one pinball table, but I just looked today and someone had taken over my place.
Oh wow! By how much?
By about 20 million. But here's the
Holy crap!
Well, if that number makes any sense in perspective.
Well, right. Without context, it's like, is that a lot? Is that a little? Who knows? Pinball is so random.
But I'd played a game, but I didn't have my wireless turned on my 3DS, and I had set a score of 128 million, which beat my other score. My high score was 90 million points, and then I set a score of 128 million, but because my wireless was turned off, it didn't get sent to the online leaderboards, and when
sucks.
I did connect to the online, it never updated my score.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
So I still would be number one, but it's just... Yeah.
Can you see the name of who's number one now?
Yeah, you can.
Do you know his name? I think we should call him out.
I'm not sure. I'll open it up right now.
Yeah, do that. I'll read the next letter, but we need to call this guy out. I think maybe you should do a What Pushes My Button segment about this guy.
There you go.
1 minute. You just go off on him. So thank you, Andy, for writing in. Always great to hear from you. The next letter, which actually came via Swapnote. I actually got one listener mail from Swapnote, which is awesome. Again, if you guys want to send listener mail through Swapnote, send it to me or Zach, because we check it the most.
Yep.
And just make sure you note in there that it is listener mail, so we know that it is, and it's not just a random Swapnote.
Quickly, before you read the next letter, his name is Tech101.
Fuck Tech101. If you listen to this podcast, stop it. You're not welcome here anymore. All right, so the next letter. It's from Shaman, or Donald Mick, as he goes by on Twitter, which may just be his real name, I guess. Will the last big game for the DS, which he called the 2DS, which I thought was funny, be Devil Survivor 2, or will we see a big game like Pokemon Gray? P.S. Also, chances of a Devil Survivor overclocked 2?
Why not?
For which one? The overclocked?
Overclocked, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
No horror.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't do that if they've done it, you know, in the past. It doesn't seem like it'd be much work for them. I think Devil Survivor 2 could be the last one, or I guess if they do an overclocked, but I feel like any new Pokemon game will probably be for the 3DS at this point.
I would hope so.
I still think it was a mistake not to do the most Black and White. Or no. Black and White were the most recent.
I am too, and especially considering it was just so late in the system's lifespan. The 3DS was like out the next day.
Yeah, they were like, what, a week or two apart probably?
Yeah.
And for a system that launched so slowly, I mean, that could have really spurred things.
That probably would have made it explode in sales, because
everyone
wants Pokemon.
Yeah. Right. And who's going to rush out then to buy a 3DS in, like, this sort of, I'll call it lackluster, though there were some good games there, but, you know, the not-so-impressive launch lineup for the 3DS when you're just playing a great Pokemon game on your regular DS. And Black and White were great Pokemon games, so... I think that was a mistake. So I think something like Gray, even though it sounds like it'll be, you know, it's kind of a one-off and it's sort of probably tied to Black and White, I think it would be for 3DS.
Yeah, it better be.
I mean, think of Pokemon Yellow. That was a Game Boy Color game.
Yep.
And it just came out, you know, a year or two after Red and Blue, so.
Oh, I love that game.
Which one? Yellow?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good because it was just so much like the cartoon and like... At that point, that's all I wanted was just to play the cartoon.
I just wanted Pikachu to follow you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Listen to James and Jesse's speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really good. Man, I want that to hit the eShop. I would download that and play that in a heartbeat.
I'm surprised they haven't released, like... Well, I guess it would have to be Yellow. I'm surprised they haven't released Yellow on the eShop.
Yeah. Or Red and Blue. I think they'll do it. I think they'll rework it and add in a little bit of, like... wireless functionality so you can trade, and then they'll just charge like $10 for it or something, like add a premium to it because they put work into it.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, they added in like the ability to send pictures to your friends on Pokemon Snap virtual console. Like, why wouldn't they do this? It's just sitting there waiting to make them money, but I don't know.
Leading with them.
Yeah. Who do you think is like more like, kind of staunchy and strict about this kind of stuff, like Disney with their vault where they just release movies periodically and then put them away, or like Nintendo with their classic games, like not wanting to make them very easily available?
Well, first of all, Nintendo with their classic games, they like making money on their classic games, and they, you know, they re-released a bunch of NES games in GBA form, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Disney is pretty stupid about their vault. I mean, is there a certain point which... You know, when The Lion King is on store shelves, nobody's going to buy it anymore.
Yeah.
What's the harm? It annoys me.
It is really stupid. Like, from their perspective, I feel like they're really encouraging piracy of their movies. Because it is. You can't just go out and like be like, you know what? I want to get Aladdin. Like, I really want to watch Aladdin all of a sudden. And you just can't because they decided that they don't want to make it available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Man, I just watched Aladdin the other night. That movie is friggin' good.
It is good.
Except the escape from the cave looks pretty bad now.
Oh, yeah. It was mind-blowing at the time, though. Yeah. They used computers.
Exactly.
On that same note, on this wild tangent, Aladdin, SNES or Genesis version?
Genesis.
SNES. That's the only one I played.
Genesis. I gotta go Genesis on this.
I like it's throwing so apples at dudes.
Yeah, throwing the apples was the best part. And the music's just so much better, surprisingly, on the Genesis version.
Although it didn't look as good. It looked a little too bright on the Genesis to me.
Yeah. Well,
that was a common Genesis problem, though.
Yeah, it was. Patrick, I would recommend just downloading an emulator and playing the Genesis version just a little bit, because I think you'll appreciate it.
Is it much different, or is it basically the same game?
NWR opposes SOPA.
It's like it's different. It's way different. Okay. You can see similarities, and like it kind of follows the same like level structure, but the Genesis one just does so much more. And it's, yeah, it does. It's so much better.
All right.
So check that out. But yeah, so that's it for mail. So thank you, Andy and Shaman, for writing in. As always, connectivity and NintendoWorldReport.com for mail. But let's move on to Resident Evil Revelations demo.
Yes.
No.
So,
have we all played this now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's so good. Makes me thirst for Resident Evil.
Yeah, it is very good. I was surprised at how much I liked it. So, as Zach mentioned, the demo just came out Thursday on the eShop. If you haven't downloaded it yet, you absolutely should. No, if anything, just to encourage Nintendo to keep doing demos.
Yeah.
And it was pretty great. I was very surprised at how much it felt like kind of old school Resident Evil, both in sort of control and like feel, as well as like just campy dialogue and sort of not great voice acting, which I love.
Man, they cast a terrible voice actor for her partner.
Yeah, what's that? Like, I can't put a finger on what his, like, accent is supposed to be or, like, where he's supposed to be from, but it's, like, all over the place. He's so bad.
He's like Princess Leia.
He is.
Nobody got that? Sometimes she's British, sometimes she's not.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, what did you guys think?
I didn't think it was, like, I thought everything about it was great except for the controls. That's my one major gripe. But maybe the Circle Pad Pro would fix my issues with it. I'm not sure.
Have you played 4 and 5?
No.
Oh, well, that's the problem right there. You know what? In 4 and 5, it's even worse because you can't strafe.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The strafing made this game nice because every area you're in is very confined.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to be able to, you know, back up and move to the side and get away from those creatures. That was a nice little addition. And
it just felt really clunky. Like, you would have to, I don't know. It didn't feel fluid.
That's Resident Evil for you.
Yeah. I'm not a big Resident Evil guy, so.
Did you tinker with the control menu at all? Because I heard people complaining about it on Twitter, and then, like, some guy said if you did, like, control option 3 or, like, something crazy random like that, that kind of alleviated some of the problems.
I didn't really try
I haven't played with the control options at all, because I like the one that's there.
Yeah, I was fine with the default. It felt very much like kind of where Resident Evil's been, so it wasn't jarring to me. But I would use one of your 30 playthroughs maybe to to find what's right for you.
And supposedly, once you beat it on kind of the normal difficulty, you can unlock hard difficulty, and I haven't tried that yet.
Oh, what, the demo?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I saw that on my... It was unlocked on mine.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. Although I had a hard enough time beating the normal one the first time. That one, like, super zombie or mutant or whatever they are is what, like, messed me up. But, like, the, like, spikes on his arms
the
or whatever.
The one at the very end.
Yeah, near the very end, yeah.
I didn't actually beat him. I just ran straight for the elevator.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That dude's attack animations are taken straight from the dude with the claws on his hands, like Shredder from Resident Evil 4.
Oh, okay.
Blind guy, straight from that guy.
I can see that.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about the enemies? Because they aren't really like zombies. I mean, they kind of shuffle around like the zombies, which is nice. It's not like recent Resident Evils where they've been like, you know, just mostly human and they're kind of running at you. But they
black
did...
people.
Zach, I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad someone did. But yeah, I mean, they were kind of weird, and I thought their death animation was odd. I hope that gets better in the final version.
Yeah,
they just kind of like start melting, and then all of a sudden there's this like kind of ugly pile of goo.
Right. Although you can scan that ugly pile of goo.
Yeah. For what? What does it get you?
Somebody on the forum said you get a herb if you get 100%.
Oh, really?
Not really sure how you get 100%.
Yeah, I guess if you went back through and scanned everyone that you'd already killed.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I didn't mess around with that, but I'd imagine that's what you'd have to do.
I kind of like that scanner. It reminds me of the scan visor a little bit.
From Metroid Prime?
Yeah.
That's why I love it and hate it, because this means every time I go into a room, which I already did in the demo, every time I go into a room, I pull it out, and I'm scanning around and like trying to look in every nook and cranny for a fucking green herb or some shotgun shells or something.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, did you have that problem, you guys? Like, did you find yourselves doing that? Because I did it constantly once I got that thing.
I didn't.
Oh yeah, that's what
you
I.
You didn't do it, Patrick?
Not really.
You just didn't get into the spirit of this. No. I need you to go back, turn the lights down low, switch your control settings, play on hard, really get invested. There you go. We want an update next week.
I just booted up my game to look at the difficulties, and I just noticed it doesn't have the second difficulty anymore.
Oh.
Which is weird. I guess that means each time you turn on the demo, it resets itself completely.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah. Well, that's very user-friendly and great, great design.
That I'd have to play through it again to access the harder...
Right.
Yeah.
Because who wants to do that? Like, play and okay, weird. I wonder if you play through on normal and then play through again on hard, if that counts as two playthroughs, or if it's just every time you boot it, it subtracts one.
Every time you close it, it subtracts a playthrough.
Okay, so you could play. Okay, so you could play both of them in one sitting.
Yeah, that's probably what you have to do. I guess.
Not that you have to worry about using all 30 unless you're crazy, but still.
Right, right.
What do you guys think about that? Like a play amount limit.
It doesn't bother me too much because it's 30. That's so many. You're never gonna go through 30.
Yeah.
Especially if you intend on buying the game soon. I said in my impressions that you could play it every day from last Thursday and still have 10 playthroughs after you bought the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why have that limitation then? Like, why do you guys think they even bothered?
Well,
just to do it?
Because Nintendo...
Do you think Nintendo told them they had to have a limit, and so they just put 30 on it?
Well, other demos, you know, last week the Japanese crew was saying that some of those Japanese demos have, like, 3.
Right.
I think the Ace Combat one only
has. Yeah, Ace Combat, and some have 5, and I was like, what?
Right. 5 seems reasonable. I can't see wanting to play a demo more than 5 times. 3 is kind of heinous, but I just don't understand why having limitations like that at all. But...
Yeah, me neither. I mean, what is that... Is having the demo, is it going to be like, well, I've got the demo. Why do I need to buy the full game?
I could play 10 minutes of Resident Evil Revelations. I'm pretty sure I've seen it all.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess you're right. I mean, that must just be the main concern, is that they would just keep playing the demo.
God knows, when I buy demos on PSN or download demos, I never want to buy the full game at the end.
It's all you need is about half a level. It's perfect. That's the perfect size.
Yeah, Super Meat Boy, like, when I got to the end of those 5 levels, I was like, I've had enough. That's, you know, that's good.
Is Super Meat Boy on the PSN?
Oh, good point. XBLA, I'm sorry.
Okay, I was going to say, I need to go get that then.
Dude, it's so awesome.
But yeah, so... Pretty good, though. Left a good impression. I mean, we talked about it, I feel like, leading up to the turn of the year on connectivity, I feel like every week there was news we were talking about, and a lot of it was negative. But having played the game, I could almost see it being worth maybe that $50 price tag. If it comes with the CirclePad Pro, which I don't think it will, but if it did, 100%, like, I'd be okay.
If you pre-order it, I think you get a 3DS case, though.
I think that... Oh, wow.
I think other stores are doing it too. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, I've been assured that the review copy is en route.
Oh, nice.
So I should be getting it soon, and you won't see me for about a week. I'll just be playing.
You should talk to one of our Japanese correspondents and have them send you a CirclePad Pro so you could try it with that.
That's not a bad idea.
Because I'd imagine you're going to want that new review.
What if they send one with it?
Well, if they send one with it, then you're fine. Yeah. But you never know. They might not.
Then I could have 2.
They probably sell would one because on they'd eBay. Want you to play it with that control scheme.
Right, yeah, because I think they want that mentioned. Yeah. Yeah, you'll probably be all right. But just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. This is, you know, I keep say this every time I bring it up. That game's the reason I bought a 3DS. So it better be
really?
Good.
Yeah, well, the demo's promising. So,
yeah.
Before we close here, I thought I'd just chime in. I just got tweeted at on Twitter about connectivity from Ivan, whose Twitter handle is LinkUYDD. Not sure how you pronounce that. But he said, great connectivity show. My favorite so far. Thanks for the weekly dose. So, guys, we're doing a good job.
Doing all right. It hasn't been hate mail yet.
Yeah, so that's very good. So if you would like your compliments to us read on connectivity, tweet us while we're recording.
Can we send ourselves compliments?
Yes. Patrick, what do you have to say about your performance so far?
I think this is your third episode? It is improving.
Well, there you go.
I admit.
So, I guess that'll do it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you want to add Zach on your 3DS so you can see his awesome swap notes like people still want to, I would say just message him. And if you want to add any of us, just message us on NWR, and we will gladly exchange friend codes.
I'm running low on girls.
Well, yeah, but luckily you'll get new people, so you can just start rehashing, do different angles.
Good point, yeah. And I'm getting Poison Ivy in the next week.
Well, there you go. I'll look forward to a swap note. Yeah.
I look forward to it.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it then.
All right, guys. All right, thanks for coming.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Folks, welcome to another exciting round of NWR Jeopardy. We have a good crew here, including some new people. Let's start with our returning champion, Pedro Hernandez.
Hey, everybody.
We also have James Dawson.
Hello.
Patrick Barnett.
I'm back again.
And the esteemed Jonathan Metz.
I have a PhD in Nintendo, bitches.
The Nintendos. Okay, so we're going to do Single Jeopardy first. I've changed the rules just a little bit to make it easier. All the points are just going to be the same, 200 to 1,000. And everyone's keeping track of their own scores because I don't have a Vanna White-esque assistant to help me. But that's okay. I trust you all. So let's start it off. The first four categories are potent quotables, It's the Boss, Nintendo, and Licensed Schlock. And we will let Pedro, our returning champion, pick first.
I'll take Licensed Schlock for 100.
Well, 200. But that's okay.
Okay, 200.
Okay. This eagerly anticipated 2002 Batman game turned out to be a complete flop, earning an incredible 0.75 out of 10 from Game Informer.
I think I reviewed this, but I don't remember the name of it.
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I don't remember the name either.
Okay. The answer is, what is Batman Dark Tomorrow?
Dark Tomorrow. Oh, it's the Kimco game, right?
Yeah. I've heard it's buggy as hell.
Oh, it's utter awful, awful, awful stuff.
I've always wanted to play it just to play it, but I've never seen it since.
I don't recommend it.
Okay. Pedro, your turn, or your go.
Okay, I'll continue with License slot for 400.
Excellent idea. This horrifying Wii prequel to the 2011 film featured a unique subtitle in Transformers that don't transform.
Yahoo!
Okay, somebody... Johnny.
What is Transformers Dark of the Moon?
There's a little bit more.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Nothing? Nobody?
Autobots versus Decepticons?
It is Stealth Force Edition. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Patrick.
I was going to be wrong anyway.
Okay. Boy, that game was bad. Wow. All right, Pedro, you go again.
Okay, I'll keep it with License Schlock for 600.
Now, if nobody gets this, I have done my job poorly. Loosely based on the DC Animated Universe version of the character, this N64 game is often considered one of the worst ever made.
Yahoo!
I can't tell. Johnny?
What is Superman for N64?
That is not what it's called. Pedro!
Superman?
Patrick?
Superman 64.
There we go.
Are you sure there's a 64 on that box?
I am fairly certain. Let's look again. And do
I think
some
it's
research
just
here.
Called Superman. I think everyone calls it Superman 64. Colloquially.
Okay.
What the doctor said.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the doctor if he's right. Oh, God, you're right.
It's just Superman.
Oh, it's not even called that. It's Superman The New Adventures.
For N64?
Yeah, often incorrectly referred to as Superman 64.
I've never heard that subtitle.
Me neither.
I've played that game.
Well, I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Johnny, you get to pick.
All right. I think I will go with potent quotables for 200.
Okay. This is you name the game. I give you the quote from the game. Remember, you too are in the dream.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
What is the Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening?
There you go.
Stay in that category for 400, please.
Okay. Justice served.
It's too generic.
Nobody? Mighty Switch Force. What is Mighty? It's when she catches a felon. She says, justice served.
That today.
Good. It's excellent.
It's not that great.
Screw you, Patrick.
Pushmo is a lot better.
Yes, agreed. Let's stick with potent quotables for 600.
Different game. Okay. You guys are great. Thanks for the help. Let's celebrate with a pizza.
Yahoo!
Johnny?
What is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
For what system?
NES.
Yes. Very nice.
I was afraid you might have gone with Turtles in Time, but
yeah, that would have been too obvious.
All right, potent quotables for 800, please.
Okay. An egg can be floated on the water.
Let's go!
That was Pedro.
I'm going to make an ass out of myself, but I'm going to say Billy Hatcher and the giant egg.
Incorrect. Johnny.
What is The Adventures of Lolo?
Ooh, well done.
And let's close out that category for 1,000.
Okay. I know you murdered my parents. Now you will dance with the devil in the pale moonlight.
Yahoo!
That was Johnny.
What is Ninja Gaiden?
Nope.
Let's go!
Pedro.
What is Castlevania?
Nope. Patrick or James?
No idea.
No.
It is What is Batman for the NES?
I didn't think that game had any text in it.
At the very end.
Oh, I never got to the very end.
There's a cinematic, if you could call it that.
Pedro and I both lost 1,000 points. Is it still my pick?
It is still your pick.
All right, let's go with Nintendo for 200.
Okay. This failed Xbox puzzle platformer can probably trace its roots, including those of its main character, directly back to the obscure Game Boy game Cat Trap.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
What is Blinks the Time Sweeper?
Yes.
Oh.
Nintendo for 400, please.
Okay. Oh, this is good. This 1994 arcade fighter was ported to every contemporary console and handheld available, yet has never received a perfect arcade port. The closest version is found on Midway Arcade Classics 2.
Let's go!
I think that was Pedro first.
What is Primo Rage?
Yeah. Y'all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Pedro.
I'll continue with Nintendo for... Where are we right now?
600.
For 600, then.
Okay. This seminal PS1 game, which redefined its franchise, is heavily influenced by 1994's Super Metroid to the point of creating a new genre.
Yahoo!
Wow, everybody all at once. That is Johnny.
Before I answer, I should clarify here. Can we buzz in while you're reading the question?
No.
We have to wait until you completely finish.
Yes.
All right. Well, then I should not get credit for that.
Okay, then that's James.
What is Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
Woo! Very nice.
How many points was that again?
That was 600. Rolling in it, man. And is your pick?
Continue the non-Nintendo.
Okay. For 800. Compared to this Simon & Schuster published Xbox and PS2 game featuring the same sport, Tecmo's Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball was downright classy.
Let's go!
I think that was James?
No, I...
Oh, then it was Pedro.
I'm going to take a guess and say it's the guy game?
No, no. Ugh. Johnny.
What is Outlaw Volleyball?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, I heard of that game. I heard of that game. Now that, yeah.
Yeah.
That was 800?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll go with Nintendo for 1,000, please.
All righty. This is a good one. High Moon Studios, now known for their Transformers games, entered the gaming scene with this underappreciated first-person shooter.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
What is Giant's Citizen Kabuto?
No. That's not High Moon.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Well, maybe I should say console gaming scene. Really? Is that High Moon? That is not the same studio who made this game. It can't possibly be. We'll settle that later. But anybody?
I'll settle it right now, motherfucker.
All right, man. Bring it on. Punch you through the internet. The answer is, what is Dark Watch?
Never heard of it before.
Anyone besides me play that?
Nope.
No.
I apologize. It wasn't High Moon. It was Planet Moon Studios.
The Dark Watch game, you're kind of a vampire who's killing other vampires. It's really kind of shitty. But I got it for like $15 back in the day. Okay, so that's Johnny again.
Oh, man. I feel like I don't deserve to choose. Let's go with Bosses for 200, Alex.
I'm not pretentious enough to be Alex Trebek. They invaded the peaceful planet Hillis in Beyond Good and Evil. I'm getting nothing from nobody here.
I can't remember what they're called.
Never played the game.
Doot-doot-doot. Who or what are the Doms?
The Doms. Oh, I knew there was a Z in it.
Yeah, it's a stupid capital Z at the end. All right, go again, sir.
All right, let's go for Bosses for 400.
Dr. Grant and Tim must move through a stampede of these dinosaurs in Ocean's NES Jurassic Park, also the Super Nintendo version.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
What are Velociraptors?
Nope. Don't know if they would stampede. Nobody?
I remember the scene, but I don't know the names of the dinosaurs.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go doot-doot-doot on this. It is three-horned face, Triceratops. Trikes, as they're known in the movie. All right.
Is that a boss, really?
It's kind of, it's their
Stampede
boss.
Stampede or Triceratops.
Yeah.
All right, let's stick with Bosses, 600.
Really easy, too. Okay. This enormous mech, named after a well-known dinosaur, is outfitted with a railgun capable of launching nuclear missiles.
Yahoo!
That is Johnny? Johnny.
What? Is it me?
Yep.
What is Metal Gear Rex?
Yep. He's on fire!
That was 800, right?
That was 6.
Oh. All right, let's go for 800.
Okay. This recurring boss, originally featured in the original Mega Man and eventually carried over to the X series, comes in different colors and may have different attacks, but is always vulnerable in his central eye. Doot-doot-doot. It is the Devil, or the Bio-Devil. Y'all remember that guy, that big blob?
Oh, yeah. He turns into little pieces and shoots across the screen.
He sucks. All right. Last one. Want to finish it off?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, if you people don't get this, I invited the wrong people. The Mario Brothers face this big arm lug at the end of castles in Super Mario Bros. 3 and airships in Super Mario 3D Land.
I know what you're talking about, but I have no idea what his name is. I know where it is.
I have an idea, but I'm not willing to lose points.
If this was a visual scene, I would draw you the character right now, but I don't know the name.
No.
I can't think of it either.
All right. Yeah. It is a weird name. It might not be what you think. It's what? Who is Boom Boom?
Oh, yeah.
So the only other things we got are two and licensed schlock, Johnny.
If we must.
Okay. This well-received park sim, which sadly never appeared on the GameCube, stayed very true to its source material. Remind me to thank the developers for a lovely weekend.
Let's go!
Pedro.
I'm going to take a shot at this, and I'm going to say, is the Six Flags game?
No. Well, that's probably a good guess. The real hint is in that quote at the end. Okay, I'll give it to the first person who identifies the movie after the more accurate quote. Remind me to thank John for a lovely weekend.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
What is Jurassic Park?
Yes, do you know the name of the game now?
For GameCube?
It's the only, GameCube's the only system it did not come out for. I'm going to give it to you either way, but I just want to know if you know the name of it.
Is it The Lost World, the shooting game by Sega?
No, it's Jurassic Park Operation Genesis.
I've never even heard of that.
Really? It's like a zoo tycoon with Jurassic Park. It's amazing. The dinosaurs break out and kill people.
Okay. Am I getting points for that?
Yes,
I don't know
you
if
are.
I deserve it.
Well, you don't have to if you don't want to.
I'm going to leave those. I'm going to leave those alone.
Okay, last one in the category. Pedro, you better get this, man. The video game sequel to this popular Disney movie was subtitled "Rise of the Underminer."
Yahoo!
Johnny,
what is The Incredibles?
Yes,
that was my answer.
Johnny gets it, unfortunately. I played that game. It was awful.
Should we do a score tally or what?
Yeah, let's do a score tally. What do y'all
It'll
got?
It'll take me a minute here.
It won't take me long. I have a whopping total of 0 points.
I have 600.
Nice.
I have no idea what I have right now.
You have points.
Yes. We all know that Johnny is owning this. Motivating it.
I think I have 2,000 points.
Okay. I'm going to go with you on that. Okay, the next four categories for Double Jeopardy, where the points are not doubled, is It's Evolution, Baby, The Year We Met eBay, Needs More Rogan, and Legend of the Blue Bomber. And I should mention right now a little shout-out to Shaman, also known as Donald Mick, who wrote two of these categories. You done good, boy. So I think Johnny gets to pick this. Oh, no, you know what? It's Double Jeopardy. The person who with the lowest amount gets to pick first.
Patrick, go ahead.
Evolution for 200.
Okay. Baby Pokemon evolve into their base forms by maxing out this hidden statistic. Patrick.
What is happiness?
There you go.
You may have a chance, Patrick.
Let's go right for 400 in evolution.
Okay. If you have an empty spot in your party and a spare Pokeball in your bag, when Ninkata evolves into Ninjask, you'll also end up with this creepy ghost bug type.
I have a feeling I know what it is, but I don't want to waste my 200 points.
What is Shed Ninja? He can only be hit by super effective moves.
I guess it's still me, so we'll just go for 600 in evolution.
Okay. If you want your Keroblast to evolve into the mighty Excaviar, you'll need to trade it for this specific Pokemon.
You're making these up.
I am not. I wish I was.
I don't even recognize those Pokemon.
Yeah, they're black, white.
Anything past the first 150 is
okay.
Completely unknown.
I had to spread the love among the different Pokemon games. It's what is Shelmet? They're running out of Pokemon concepts. Let's just put it that way.
Kill them all.
Yeah. Well,
at least that nice green Pokemon.
Want to keep going on that?
No. Jump over to the eBay for 200. Okay. It wasn't going so well.
Now, all these questions have to do with the year 1995. I don't know why Shaman likes the year 1995, but hey. Okay, when Mr. Miyamoto was asked to make a game like Donkey Kong Country, his response was this far superior game, recently re-released on the Ambassador Program.
Let's go!
Pedro.
What is Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew it because I remember he kept criticizing Donkey Kong Country for the graphics, and he mentioned Super Mario World 2. So I got lucky then.
Nice.
All right, I continue with eBay for 400.
Okay. This RPG behemoth, first released in 1995, recently saw completion by former site director John Lindemann. Oh, was that? Yeah, it was James.
Yeah. What is Chrono Trigger?
Yes, sir.
How many points was that again?
That was 400.
Right. You can continue the eBay one. Yeah.
Okay. 1995 saw the release of different colored Game Boys associated with this advertising tagline.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
What is Play It Loud?
Yes, sir.
So classic.
Let's stick with 1995, 90s. Since I know some of these guys probably weren't born yet.
Hey!
How scary is that? My God.
Glad Neil's not on here.
Okay. Earthbound features this interestingly named enemy, well known for his battle theme and possibly for being kicked out of Woodstock.
Let's go!
Pedro.
What is the hippie?
Can you be more descriptive? That is not his full name, I should say.
I know he's hippie something.
All right, I gotta give somebody else a shot, Johnny. That's you, Johnny.
What is the angry hippie?
Nope.
Fuck. Oh, thank God.
Oh, nobody? James, yeah. You look like you're thinking about it.
I've got the line ready for the next.
Oh, okay. It is the New Age Retro Hippie.
Oh, so much better than I could have imagined.
Want to finish this category off?
Was that my pick?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yes. Let's do eBay for 1,000.
Okay. It was the only game in 1995, or any other year, that brought together Mario, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, and Earthworm Jim. Remember now, I did not write this category. But I like this question. No, nothing.
No idea.
All right. Dude. What is Donkey Kong Country 2, believe it or not?
What?
There's
characters. Yep.
I know. It's the ending screen where Cranky showing the Hall of Heroes, and on the corner you see Edward James' gun. Now I remember. And you see Sonic's shoes, too. Now I remember.
Yep. And Yoshi and Mario and Link is in there, too.
Yeah.
Good times.
How did I miss that one? I can't keep myself.
It's back to you, Johnny.
I think let's go with Let's go with Rogan for 200. Okay. Needs more Rogan.
After developing four popular N64 wrestling games, Aki went on to develop this shockingly good combat wrestler for EA Big.
Yahoo! I thought you were done reading the question, sorry.
I know, but nobody else is trying, so you.
Def Jam Vendetta?
Yes. Well done, sir.
Rogan for 400.
Okay. Of those four Aki wrestling games, this is the only one to not feature murder-suicide perpetrator Chris Benoit. I know nothing about wrestling.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
What is WCW versus Nitro?
No.
Oh, I said that wrong.
Well, actually, you might have said it wrong anyway. Pedro, are you going to try, or should I just name it off?
Nope.
Okay. What is WrestleMania 2000?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see. Yeah.
I figured it was the first one.
Yeah, I don't know anything about wrestling. I don't even know Chris Benoit either. Oh, yeah, NWO, yeah. Want to keep going in this one?
Yeah, let's stick with wrestling games for 600.
All right. The faster we can get through this category, the better. Before combining all their wrestling games under the SmackDown vs. Raw banner, the GameCube WWE games were given this title. You don't get to write questions anymore, Shaman. What is Day of Reckoning?
Oh. Let's get even more Rogan with 800.
Okay.
As badly as I'm doing, I think I know more about this category than anyone else here. So
we're all evenly matched.
Pretty much.
Okay, in tag team wrestling for the NES, you control the Ricky Fighters against this tag team, which has since gone on to internet superstardom.
Let's go!
Pedro.
I'm going to embarrass myself and say, is Strongbad?
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Strongbad? Oh, really?
Strongbad,
yes.
Yep.
Wow.
Yes.
Go figure. Wow. I was surprised to read that as well.
I remember reading that the guys that made Homestar Runner took the Strongbad name out of a video game, but I thought it was some rare PC Commodore game. So that's why I took a shot, and apparently I was correct. So
right on. That's the way you do it. It's your pick, sir. You can go with the, finish it off or go with a different category.
What categories do we have left?
We still have all the Mega Man, and we still have two Pokemon.
I'll take East Evolution Baby for 800.
All right. This Pokemon is the only one to have radically different gender-specific evolutionary paths.
Let's go!
Pedro.
Oh, I know I'm going to be losing this one, but is it Nidoran?
Yes, it is.
Oh my god. It's just that it has been so confusing as of late because there are now many more gender-specific Pokemon where they have to evolve, and they start with a clay blob, then it turns into an ice cream ghost. Whatever.
Back
Let's
in
continue.
My day, Pokemon didn't have genders.
It's a Nidoran and Nidorina, whatever.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish off Pokemon.
Okay. This second generation Pokemon, a boneless cephalopod, for some reason evolves from a fish, which is a vertebrate.
Second generation?
Yep. Boneless cephalopod. That's a big hint right there. Evolves from a fish.
The thing is that the answer is from first generation, but since you keep saying it's the first and second generation, I'm going to give up.
Okay. The answer is, what is Octillery?
Oh, right.
I was thinking Octopod.
Yeah. Oh, Octopod. The other worst, the worst evolution in the entire series is Clamperl, which is a clam, evolves into a eel.
Yes.
That makes the biologist in me cry.
If this was going to be, if this question was based on first generation, I was going to answer Magikarp.
Magikarp is a fish, not a octopus, but okay.
It kind of turns into a dragon, which presumably is a reptile.
Yeah. Yeah, what the heck is Gyarados anyway?
He looks reptilian to me.
He does. He looks like he could fight Godzilla.
An internet meme. Gyarados is an internet meme.
All right. Boy, who is that? That's Pedro. You got Nidoran, so you want to go to the last category, Mega Man?
Yep, go ahead, baby.
All right.
There's still one more in Rogan, isn't there?
Oh, my gosh, there is.
Okay, we go with that one then.
Okay. Put that category out of my mind. The Fire Pro Wrestling series has been extremely popular and long-running in Japan, but only two games in the franchise came to America for this Nintendo system.
Yahoo!
That was Johnny.
What is Game Boy Advance?
Yes, sir.
Let's take Blue Bomber for 200.
Okay. Before we start, I have to ask, have you played those games?
No.
Okay. Okay, Mega Man for 200. It's Mega Man's Japanese name and gives context to the names of his allies. I think actually that was James.
Who is Rockman?
There you go.
How many points was that?
That was 200, baby. Keep on keeping on here. For 400. The gaming press went nuts with the revelation that Mega Man 9 would contain this robot master, the first female boss in the series.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
Who is Splash Woman?
There you go.
I'm getting too excited.
For 600, please.
Okay. Dr. Wily held this Russian scientist's daughter hostage in Mega Man 4.
Yahoo!
Johnny.
Who is Dr. Cossack?
Yep.
He even
wore that funny hat.
For 800, please.
All right. Mega Man 7 introduced this rival to the Blue Bomber who had become a series regular and playable in Mega Man 10.
Let's go!
Oh, that's Pedro.
Who is Bass?
Yep.
I don't even play Mega Man.
I can tell because it's Bass.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's Bass Trouble Rock.
That's true. Roll.
Whatever. Beat. Whatever.
Rush.
Okay,
1,000, sir?
Yes, let's finish the category.
Arguably Dr. Wily's greatest creation, this iconic character would only discover his true purpose in Mega Man X5.
Let's go!
Oh, that was everyone all at once. Pedro.
Who is Zero?
Yes, sir.
Like I said, I don't play Mega Man, but I do play a lot of Marvel vs. Capcom.
I'm glad I didn't answer that. I was thinking Proto Man.
Oh, okay.
Well, wasn't Proto Man in the second game that he appeared?
He's in all the original series. He's not in the X series at all.
No, Proto Man first appeared in Mega Man 3.
Oh, okay.
Right, but he's in, yeah. Go lucky he's, on but this. He's not in the X series at all.
Letting me know that this is the category where I got lucky.
I'm going to piss off a bunch of people and say Axel is the best character.
Oh my gosh, why?
I loved him in, I think it was Mega Man 8, X8?
X8, yeah, X8. That's where he came up. Yeah. Well, no, he was first in 7. And then he was in that RPG thing. and then he was in 8. And I've actually heard Mega Man X8 is really good.
Yeah, it's my. It's
I've heard it's a hell of a lot
I've
better than 7.
How could it not be?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked for 8, but I can't find it in town. Okay, so I'm going to give you the final Jeopardy category. You all are going to PM
Should
me.
Should we do a score check?
Oh, yeah, let's do a score Jeopardy. Check. Why not? Let's see if anyone can't actually participate.
I have 1,200.
Well done.
200.
I have 3,600.
Holy shit.
Come on. I have points. That's it. I don't even know what I have.
You have as many as Johnny.
So we're kind of close.
Okay. All right. I'm going to PM you guys, PM me your amounts, your bets, after I read the category. Metroid Biology.
There, I made my bet, even though I don't know how many monies I have. I know I have monies.
Oh,
I don't know how many monies.
Johnny's confident. All right, I'll read it, and then I'll count down from 30 in my head. And then we'll do this thing. Very nice, Patrick. Okay, guys, here we go. While Metroids have been shown to display a variety of reproductive strategies, only this radioactive mutant produces via mitosis, or maybe it's binary fission. Off the answers, which will be hilarious, and the amounts you all bet. Patrick Barnett, he is betting his entire $200 on Samus. So for those of you who don't know, mitosis and or binary fission is when an animal like an amoeba splits in two to reproduce.
I got to say this. If the doctor doesn't get this one, I'm going to lose all hope of humanity.
It's very uncommon, but one of these Metroids does it. Pedro bets $2,000 that he may or may not have and says it's the baby Metroid. Well, it was certainly cloned enough times that maybe he's right, but can't give it to him.
I know.
James Dawson bets $200 and says the nightmare. Well, they had to get the second one on the in the fusion game somehow, right?
Yeah.
And finally, Dr. Jonathan Metz, he bets $1,600 and said, "What are the mock droids?"
It's not right.
It's not right. No. The correct answer is the fission Metroid, which appears in Metroid Prime at the very end. When you shoot them enough, they split in two, and they're fucking annoying.
Yeah. All hope is lost.
Yep.
Couldn't think of the name. I know what mitosis is, but I know that mock droids are like this weird kind of obscure Metroid lore, and I thought maybe you would go for that.
I actually don't know if I've heard of mock droids. Is that from the manga?
No, they appear very briefly towards the end of Super Metroid before the real Metroids come in.
Oh, those,
they're
the ones
the
little
that kind
of
you kill with
kinda,
one hit.
Yeah.
And
I always thought those
back
were like baby Metroids
Prime
or something.
Prime 3, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, they're not baby Metroids. They're because the baby Metroid that you see later in the game looks different.
Yeah, that's a baby Metroid, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Well, no, they were in Hunters. That's what it was. They brought back.
Oh yeah, you're right. I tried to erase that game from my memory.
Oh, as I like to call it, Metroid Prime Hunters, the Copper Tunnel Syndrome game.
Yeah. So there you have it, folks. Jeopardy. That was fun. Who won, by the way? I think it was probably Johnny.
I had 2,000 left.
Yeah.
I'm just happy I finally finished with 1,000 points.
There you go. Stay positive.
I finished with points.
There you go. All right. Well, welcome our new champion, Jonathan Metz.
Woohoo!
You're going to have to come back and defend your title sometime.
Yay. I would love to. I had a blast. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming, sir.
It's fun playing with you guys.
Hell yeah. Well, I'll get some... I guess I'll get some easier questions next time.
We're going to do a Champions edition, just with the champions.
Yeah, and it's going to be you and Johnny and Watson.
I just got that.
Yeah.
Robot. But we don't have Watson. We have Rob 64.
We have Aaron.
That's true. Although Aaron, you know, he didn't do so well on the live show.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, it was. All right, guys, I'm going to, I assume there will be more segments, so bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
So I'm here with Zach, and we're recording a segment, a little bonus segment, post-game bonus segment that we've been meaning to talk about for a long time. Back in, October of last year, I think it was?
Yeah.
The Shadow of the Colossus and Eco HD Collection came out for PlayStation 3, and this was actually a really big deal for me personally because I've long claimed Eco was my favorite game of all time, and... I hadn't even played Shadow since it came out. I loved Shadow, but I hadn't ever replayed it since I played it the first time. So I had been very patiently waiting for this collection to come out. And, of course, I was drooling over trailers of The Last Guardian and all that for the past couple of years. But I had
the truth.
When I bought my PS3, I finally sold my PS2 copies of Eco and Shadow, thinking that I'd just pick up the HD remix. And then I got delayed like a year or something.
Yeah.
But we finally have them now, and I've beaten Eco and played the first three Colossi and Shadow so far. I haven't touched Shadow in a few months, but and then Zach's kind of the reverse. He's beaten Shadow and played the first like half or so of Eco.
Yep.
So I thought we'd just talk about both games a little bit without getting too spoilery. We'll talk a little bit more spoiler heavy on Shadow because we've both beaten it in the past, but. Eco will still kind of be a little vague on. There's actually some really cool plot stuff towards the end of Eco that I'd love to talk about, and maybe we'll do a follow-up at some point once Zach's beaten the game. If he feels compelled to discuss it, like if he thinks it's as interesting as I did, we could do a little follow-up, five or 10-minute little deal. But why don't you tell me what you thought about Shadow to start off with, since you played that more.
Shadow, you know, first of all, I'd like to say that it's nice to have these running at 60 frames a second.
Oh God,
or
yeah,
or whatever it is, because Shadow was virtually unplayable on PS2, and
I was shocked that Shadow got as unanimous of praise as it did, because I thought the same thing. Like Eco on PS2 played pretty smoothly,
yeah,
and like Shadow felt like it was running at half of the frame rate that Eco did. It was clearly the same engine or a very similar engine,
yeah.
But Shadow felt like it was running at half speed compared to Eco on the PS2.
Oh, yeah. And when you had, you know, particle effects at all, it slowed down to a slideshow.
Yeah, no doubt.
It was really awful. But I played as much of it as I could take back on the PS2, and I didn't really like it. And I think it's because of the frame rate. But I also had issues with the controls. And now playing it on the PS3, the frame rate's much improved. I can figure out what I'm doing. I still didn't. Still don't really like the controls in that game, but more so, after I thought about it for a while, I really liked the journey. The journey fighting Colossi was great, but I didn't really like the story. When you think about it, the Wanderer is kind of a douche.
That's the idea. it's certainly a morally ambiguous tale. I don't know that after the first hour of the game, you're ever meant to feel like a good guy.
Yeah.
Maybe you are. I mean, you have fairly naive intentions going into the game. I mean, the story of the game is you're trying to revive your girlfriend, and this mysterious all-powerful god tells you that if you kill these 16 colossi, he can grant your wish. But the colossi
failing to mention something in the process.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. The colossi aren't particularly menacing. I mean, some of them are. Some of them are downright aggressive.
The lion ones are pretty aggressive.
Yeah, some of them are downright mean, but a lot of them are just kind of laying around, hanging out, and then you go climb on them and stab them a million times. I think it's a good story. I don't think it's a particularly feel-good story.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an interesting game gameplay-wise because I think a really easy comparison is Zelda, because you're running around an open countryside on a horse, like Ocarina of Time kind of Zelda.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in the field except for the terrain. There's no monsters to fight. Oh, and there's lizards. That's true. there's no monsters to fight. And honestly, the terrain it's cool, but it kind of gets in the way sometimes, because the only thing you have to go off of, you don't really have any sort of like detailed map. All you have to go off of is this compass sort of thing with your sword, where you lift it up in the air and it kind of points in the direction you want to go. And I think part of the reason I stopped playing Shadow this most recent time was, I think it's like the third Colossus you have to go through this like mountain range to get to. Like the compass does not point you in the obvious direction.
And it doesn't show up when you're in Shadow.
Yeah. And so I probably walked around for 45 minutes in terrain trying to find the damn Colossus. By the time I found him and killed him, I just got burned out on the thing and haven't gone back to it since. I really need to go back to it, because I do remember loving the boss fights as they get more and more complex. And the last Colossus is a hell of a fight.
He's frustrating as hell.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things I don't like about the game. Wanderer can't hold on to shit. Like, the boss, you know, takes a step and he's all like, oh no!
Did you know that killing the lizards slightly increases your grip power?
Yes, and I increased it all the way. Or at least my grip power stopped increasing, so I figured. So I can't imagine what it would have been like if I didn't kill any lizards. See,
I actually didn't know that the first time I played the game. I think I did kill plenty of the wizards, but I never made the connection that it was increasing my my energy. But anyway,
that's a pretty subtle change in that circle.
Yeah, it's quite subtle.
I actually really like the terrain in the game. The whole world is very well imagined.
Yeah.
Like, it really does feel like kind of this barren wasteland, but there's a lot of geography going on, and all the colossi live in interesting places. And I kind of liked wandering through the countryside, seeing what there was to see. And your reward is this giant, you know, stone turtle at the end that you have to climb on the back of and stab in there in the brain.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how familiar you were with the story of Eco going in, because I know that the game doesn't really tell you much at the beginning. But there is a very, very slight connection between the two games.
Isn't Eco himself supposed to be the kind of end result of Shadow?
I think that's the idea. Like, the story of Eco, that's sort of not really presented in the game, but if you read the instruction book, I think that's where I got it from. The idea is there's this village, and once a generation, there's a boy born in the village with horns, and the elders of the village take this boy with horns on his 13th birthday to a giant abandoned castle and leave him there for dead to appease the gods, I guess. The idea is that this line of boys with horns is sort of a direct result of what happens at the end of Shadow of the Colossus. So there's kind of a really cool link between the two. And knowing that when you're playing Shadow, I think there's actually a few like places where off in the distance things start to look awfully familiar. I've seen screenshots of scenes in Shadow that are very possibly the castle from Ego.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't really know how much of that is intentional, was in the, put in there by design, but I really think that there's a really kind of interesting mythology behind both of these games that is there, but not really forced upon you.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons I like both of these games so much, is that it's a very, very clear example of gameplay story by showing and not by
forcing
telling.
It down your throat. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that's present in Eco, simply because there's a very tangible emotional connection between these two characters, and it's all done by body language.
Very well done.
It's done by body language.
I would say it's the best example of kind of this male-female character interaction I've seen in a video game. And that game's, you know, 10 years old.
It's great. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have valid complaints about the fact that Yorta can't do anything.
She is a moron. I'll give you that.
She is a moron. I think I read somewhere that she was blind, but the creator of the game debunked that.
Yeah.
I think just thinking that she's blind seems to make the whole thing make more sense.
I think it's more like she's deaf because she never comes when I scream at her.
Yeah, that's very possible. I think the fact that there's a language barrier between the two characters helps the player sort of feel invested because she's clearly like – she clearly has some powers and she has a connection with this castle, but she can't tell you – she can't tell Eco, so you don't know. And yeah, I think it's just a really cool – it's a really cool dynamic between those two characters because it's all done mainly without any sort of dialogue, and it's just done through facial animation. Mm-hmm. And the game looks great. I mean, I think it looked great on PS2 till the very end, but the game upscales very well. I mean, there's not a lot of textures. I think that's one of the complaints some people had, was every place kind of looks the same because there's like one brick texture they reuse over and over again.
Well,
but I never had that problem. I never really had that problem because the architecture in the game is really pretty creative, and they take you to lots of different kinds of areas. And you're still pretty early in the game, so there's a lot of things you haven't seen yet. But at one point, and this was actually in the demo of the game that came out on PS2 back before the game was even released, but at one point you walk out, it's the first time you've really been outside since the game starts, and it drops you off into this like bright, grassy area with a little pond and a giant windmill. And it's just like you've broken free, and it just feels absolutely wonderful.
Oh, I've not been there.
It's just a great – it's not a very big area, but there's this giant windmill, and it's one of the first times you start to feel like this is actually a place where someone might have lived, I guess. It's a cool scene, and I think whenever you go outside in that game, there's that sort of bloom effect, and I think that's really cool. I think that game – It overuses it, but I think it uses it to great effect.
They use it a lot in Shadow, too.
Yeah, they do.
Now, without spoiling anything for me, is there a story arc for Yorta in Eco? Or is she just kind of there and you're leading her out? Is she the MacGuffin, or does she have a story?
Have you encountered the main villain of the game yet?
No, I'm just fighting shadow creatures once in a while.
Okay. You're actually not quite as far into the game as I was thinking you are, but at some point, probably pretty close to where you're at, you're going to have you gotten to the main gate of the castle yet?
Yes.
So then you didn't meet the witch?
Well, maybe I did meet the witch.
At some point, when you get fairly early in the game, maybe like a third of the way through the game, you come across the main gate of the castle. It's like all these sort of torches along a row on both sides of a path. And right at that scene, you meet for the first time the main antagonist of the game, who introduces herself as Yorta's mom.
I must have quit right before that, because I am pretty...
Yeah.
Either that,
so,
or it's just taking me a really long time to get through the game.
Without spoiling too much, the main antagonist of the game is Yorta's mother, so I think it's fair to say that she has an arc of some kind.
Okay.
I'm trying not to talk too much about the late end of the game, but
that's okay.
You actually play the last hour or so of the game without Yorta at all. So there is definitely some story that happens with Yorta later on that makes things interesting.
Well, I'll have to force myself away from Odin's Sphere and pop that in, because it's not a long game, is it? It's like 5-6 hours long.
I think first playthrough, I can't fathom you'd spend more than 7 hours on
okay,
it.
Okay, that's not
bad. I think I can play through the game in about 4.5.
Okay.
I think maybe my playthrough on PS3 when I got it, I hadn't played it for about 2 or 3 years. I think maybe it took me like 6 hours, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But
now there is one thing. There is one thing I don't like about the game.
Shoot.
It is, Ico's animations are pretty horrifying. Like,
yeah,
he can't run, and and he can't jump, and you know, he has the same kind of grip and pull yourself up that Wanderer does when he's getting on a ledge, and it's like you can tell that the developers had never animated a person before. But Yorta doesn't really have the same issues.
Yorta moves very gracefully. They did a good job with making her feel fragile, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And Ico looks like a football player charging around.
I kind of like the way that he swings his weapon, the stick. It's crazy and sort of like flaily.
Yeah.
I think at some point, I think when I was playing through the game the first time, I refused to call him by Ico. I just called him Boy with Stick. and I think I called Yorta Girlfriend of Boy with Stick. I think part of that was just because I liked watching him flail around with the stick so much.
It's also not really clear that he has horns so much as a Viking helmet on.
Yeah, yeah, that's really not clear. I think he says it though in the dialogue of the game, so you at least know it's actually becomes a little more clear. There's a cutscene towards the end that makes it very clear that it's not a helmet.
Okay.
When I was replaying through the game, there were a certain amount of things that I didn't really love, things that maybe I had overlooked before, had kind of forgotten about, but I do think the controls in both Ico and Shadow are, they're not great. I mean, I learned to adjust to them, but
they're really unintuitive.
They're unintuitive.
And jumping onto your horse is the most frustrating thing in the world in Shadow of the Colossus. My gosh, man. Just get on the horse. Don't jump next to the horse.
I felt like in Ico it was really, really easy to get to the edge of a platform and really botch a jump that needed to be kind of finessed. Like, I think I watched Ico, like, willfully jump to an obvious death so many times in that game because the controls just weren't working the way I wanted them to.
Is it that, or is it like his animation starts before you're ready?
Yeah, that could be too. That could be too. The control or the I'm sorry, the combat in Ico gets old pretty quick. Mainly because there's no variety. You're doing the same thing over and over again. It's just the same, like, three or four different kinds of shadow monsters that come at you. And none of them are interesting.
I feel like they really botched the enemy design. I mean, those things could have been really creepy.
I want to hear if you have that same sentiment after you've beaten the game.
Okay.
I'm curious. Yeah, the shadow monsters are one of the more interesting parts of the story after you've finished the game, I think.
Okay.
Are
those shadow monsters you're fighting in the temple, or that gather around the Wanderer in the temple after he kills each Colossus, or are those the spirits of the Colossi, or are they one and the same?
I'm actually kind of curious about that. Like, based on what I know of the shadow monsters from having beaten Ico, I can't see any obvious connection to the two, but I think it's possible that they're both kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's an easier question to answer after you've beaten Ico.
Okay.
I think that, yeah, the combat is frustrating. It gets old pretty quick, and it's annoying because there's sometimes, like, you get knocked down and it takes Ico, like, 35 minutes to, like, stand back up and run around.
But actually, the same thing with the Wanderer. If you fall off something or you get knocked back, he just kind of lays there for a while. And you think, are you dead over there?
I love the sense of scale in Ico. I think it's amazing how you can, like, get up onto like the top part of the castle and kind of look far, far away. And as you play through the game more, there's moments where you can kind of like look off into the distance and see a place that you've been before. And that's kind of amazing.
I'd say the sense of scale in that game is better than Shadow, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I would agree.
When you get on top of a Colossus, you don't really see everything. You just see what's immediately around you.
Yeah.
I think the best sense of scale I got in that game was when I was riding on top of the bird Colossus.
Yeah.
Because you can see the lake below you and he's flying over all the structures. That's pretty cool. But all the other ones, you're just kind of...
Well, it seems like a lot of the terrain in Shadow is pretty well segmented
into
very specific areas. But in Eco, it really does feel like you're scaling this giant castle and you're hitting all parts of it.
Yeah.
Especially as you get more and more through the game, you kind of come back to a central area quite a few times and you start to realize how the whole thing is really put together.
Yeah.
So
very good level design.
There's sort of like the mission that you have to go on to get that main gate open is this sort of like really long roundabout two-part mission that kind of brings you to every corner of the castle and back, and it's kind of neat.
Nice.
So yeah, anyway,
I'm going to have to start replaying that. I'm excited. And I just have to say just seeing Eco and Yorda sitting on a bench to save, that's adorable.
Isn't it?
It's really adorable.
It's like a little couch in the middle of nowhere. It's
hands,
great.
Sitting on the bench. Yeah.
The music in the game in Eco is, there's not much of it, but what's there is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I actually went so far as to order the soundtrack for Eco. I have a copy of it at home somewhere.
Oh, nice.
There's not much in the way of actual music on it. There's a lot of ambient noise, but there's like at least two songs on there that are nice actual theme songs that are pretty cool.
I really like the theme song.
Yeah.
And when I started playing Skyward Sword, Zelda's Ballad of the Goddess reminded me a lot of the Eco song.
Yeah. I could see that. I could definitely see that. Well, I think that's all we have to say about Eco and Shadow. You got anything else you want to mention, Zach?
I would say that even though both games have pretty glaring flaws, I would recommend people play them.
I think so.
There's no game like either one of them. There really isn't. And I think, Johnny said this before, Eco set the stage in a big way for a lot of the kind of action adventure games we take for granted today, like Uncharted and Tomb Raider, or the newer Tomb Raider games. It's all environmental puzzles. That's the whole game. It's real interesting to see where that started. And if you're looking forward to that Guardian game, which will never come out.
Don't tell me that. The project lead of that game left Sony, but apparently he's going to work via contract. He's gonna consult
to finish the game. Yeah.
To finish the game. The fact that it hasn't come out and it's 2012, and he hasn't had a game out since 2005.
And nobody mentioned it at E3.
Nobody mentioned it. It's got to get mentioned at this E3. There's no way this E3 it doesn't get mentioned. If it doesn't get mentioned at this E3, I think it's a fair chance the game is just not going to happen. But that's sad because with the kind of games that Eco and Shadow are, I really wanted to see a full-scale PS3 effort. And the trailer looks great.
It does.
The trailer looks like the best parts of the Eco and Shadow, with clearly the same aesthetic and sense of style and storytelling. So I hope the game comes out.
And my biggest question with those trailers is how does this tie into the mythos of the world?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't wait for that game if it ever comes out. Make it happen, Indeed. Sony.
Indeed. Bring it on. All right, Zach. It's been real. It's been real. We should do this again sometime.
We should do this again.
All right.
Do it when I finish Eco.
Excellent. Sounds good.
All right, man.
All right. Later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.